So if you look here on page 10, we have a very interesting, very rich discussion about the assignment of rights, not between partners in this case, but between the yechidim of a mavoi and the general public. Now, you could view society as a whole as a type of shutfus, right? That kind of partnership where we have to divvy up rights in the sidewalk, rights in natural resources, coordination of road use. That could all just be a type of a shutfus, do we agree? Now the question is there any reason to assume that a shutfus between the rabbim and a yachid would be different than the shutfus between many yachidim? Do you think there should be any difference? Benji?
Yeah, I think, well, typically when entering into shutfut, it's done like, you know, what's it called? Like consensually and explicitly. Whereas being part of the Rambam, you just kind of like, I'm born into part of the Rambam. But also sometimes in shutfut, you know, like the Rushas, I mean, you also just kind of like.
Yeah, right. So you're saying one's by explicit agreement and one's, you know, you kind of forced into. Yeah. Actually, that's a good point. So how the shutfus is formed is one important consideration. What else would you point to about the rabbin versus yachid? Well, do you have an intuition that the rabbin should generally prevail when there's an issue between the rabbin and the yachid? Or is it...
It would depend on the case.
What?
It would depend on how much that yachid will affect the rabbin.
Okay, good. But the question is, does the balance of interest change when you're dealing with many people against an individual?
It's still case specific.
Okay, so let's look. Let's look at the cases. So in Babasri et Alpha Mabiz, we have Baimine Rapuna Mirabami, Echon ibn Mavoy Shabikish Lahachzir Pischel Mavoy Yacher, B'nei Mavoy Ma'akvin Olav, O'en Ma'akvin Olav. Amarle B'nei Mavoy Ma'akvin Olav. So what's the case here, Zacharia?
It seems that a guy had a house that could be as adjoining two different mavois. Essentially, one of them wants to move from mavoi A to mavoi B.
So he wants to change his opening, right? Let's say he used to open up onto, let's say this building opens up onto 185th, and now we want to pop an entrance on Amsterdam.
Right, he closed one more 185th.
Yeah.
So it seems B'nai mavoi. See which mavoi? Probably the latter one.
What does Rashi say? B'nai mavoi ma'akvin olav. So the Amsterdam Avenue people could block us from opening an entrance on that street.
Yeah.
Right? Into their... You have to think of this like in these medieval societies or ancient societies. If you guys travel to these old towns in Europe, it's just like a lot of these small alleyways, right, where it really is the model where you have a house, a chutzner, and these courtyards open up into alleyways. And think of the old city, right? Very narrow roads, right? And you really have to direct traffic, you know, who's going into which place and where. And where an opening is will affect the movement of the flow of traffic. So, Zachariah, what are we told? The Rashi says the B'nai Mavoi Acher, the new Mavoi, could block you from opening a door into them. Why? So, what does the Rif say?
Marbalei Masaderach, which means increase the amount of traffic.
Right, you increase the traffic burdens.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe you got a sound issue.
It could be a sound issue, it could be a destruction issue, it could be a traffic issue. Like, it literally...
It's also just annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. Like, it's it impedes your ability to hang out there, it impedes your ability to travel. Right? Right. So the din is that the B'nai Mavoi Acher could block you from opening that entrance. Okay. So why are they able to do this? Yeah, so
you see, don't have any the right to close it on.
That's right. So you see the halacha here assigns some sort of right to a community to regulate the foot traffic in its jurisdiction and its space, such that they could block this yachid, whatever. The yachid has some interest in moving his door, right? Clearly there's a reason why he wants to open up on Amsterdam Avenue. But he's not allowed to burden the collective B'nai HaMavli with the added traffic that that will incur. Okay? So there's some reason to think that their rights prevail over his interest or whatever it is in moving his pasla. At least according to Rashi. And again, the thing that he's affecting them with is Riboy HaDerech or, you know, more foot traffic. Okay, the Ramban quotes a second daya. Well, let me see. The Ramban has a bit of an issue with this. Does anybody understand his question from Nun Tes Amud Beis on page 11 here in the Ramban? To make a long story short, the Ramban just points out that it's clear from the Gemaras later on that within the B'nai HaMavli, no member of the Mavli has the right to complain about foot traffic to another member of the Mavli. So let's say you have Mavli Aleph. Here you have, let's say, a bunch of houses, or caseros, same on this side. A, B, C, D. Here's a mavoi with all these different caseros. So if this guy opens up a business that's going to attract a lot of foot traffic in from the outside, nobody here has a right against E to tell him he can't attract foot traffic. So doesn't that contradict our case? Where we're told that you're not allowed to open up to another mavoi because of the wrongful burden of foot traffic that you're imposing on the other people. So how do you reconcile that? So here's the Ramban says again, Hechi Pasha le demakvim mipnei riboy aderech hakaim alon lididan de ain tainas riboy aderech bimavoi. So what's the Ramban answer? Zu ain odomo zu. It's Talskaria. Shabavadai. So what's the distinction?
So saying if your Eve's already a dues-paying member of Mavoi, okay, fine, you have certain rights, and you can increase the quantity of your traffic. But
excellent.
If you're not a member of Mavoi, you don't. There's no such right where you can just insert yourself as part of the B'nai Mavoi at any point.
Excellent. So the Ramban's point is that Gufa, on this question, when we try to define the rights of an individual against the collective B'nai HaMavli, it depends whether that individual is a member of that collective or an outsider, not a member of that collective B'nai HaMavli. So when you're a member of the B'nai HaMavli and you have some sort of claim to the traffic space already in the Mavli, then your interest in attracting foot traffic defeats the interests of the collective B'nai HaMavli in decreasing traffic. But when you're an outsider, not a member of this collective B'nai HaMavli, then the interest of that Rabbim defeats your interest as a Yachid. So that's exactly right. There's this fundamental distinction here. When you go up against the collective B'nai HaMavli, whether you're a member of that Mavli or not, whether you have some antecedent right to foot traffic, or whether you're trying to create a new one. It's not an obvious distinction, but it's again, somewhat intuitive. Right? It makes sense when you hear the distinction. In Asagas Gvul discussions, also, which maybe we'll talk about in Junzman,
whether or not you could compete, set up shop in a certain town, like depends on whether you're a tax-paying member of that town. Right? That's in the second paragraph. So normally, if I want to, let's say, if I live in Philly and I want to open a pizza shop in Teaneck, the Teaneck people could block me from opening up shop there and competing with their pizza stores. But if I am already like a dues-paying member of the Teaneck community, like I pay a property tax or I pay a certain local tax, then they cannot stop me from competing there.
So you see there's this notion of like, do you belong to that set or not, which affects the allocation of rights. Okay. So you get this nice formulation of the Ramban, she'ein b'mavoy din riboy ha'derech b'mnei ha'mavoy atzman. Okay. Let me add one more point here that comes up in the Ramban and other Rishonim. If the Mavoi is a Mavoi Mefulish, this comes out of the discussion of the Ravid also, but it comes also in the Rith and the Raf. What's the Mavoi Mefulish? Anybody here study Irvin? Ned? Yeah.
In Irvin, you say it's Mefulish Mishar L'Shar. Right, it's open on both ends, such that this itself is already a public thoroughfare. Right, like the main street cuts through the Mavoi. Well, Amsterdam itself, right? It's already a Rishus Rabbim cutting through.
Yeah, maybe 185th also, right? It's there's no cars, but it's an open, as opposed to a Mavoi, which is like open to another Mavoi, right? Maybe closed even on, to traffic on the outside. Right? You have things like that. Think of like the old city. I don't know why that's the best example that comes to my mind, but right, sometimes you have these little courtyards that are closed off on the sides. Anybody been to Santorini?
No.
A lot of these old communities are structured in this weird way, right? Where it's just like courtyards off courtyards and...
But the point that they're made upon and the Rif make is that if this Mefulash Mishar L'Shar, then what? The B'nai HaMavoi have no objection.
They're not allowed to criticize you ever for bringing in extra foot traffic. He says, if HaMavoi have Mefulash, V'adai Havalei Rishus HaRabim V'ein HaNicholim La'akev Alav. Just an interesting point that the B'nai HaMavoi have rights to regulate traffic if it's already considered private territory of the B'nai HaMavoi. But if this thing has already become a public thoroughfare, then the B'nai HaMavoi lose their right to regulate it. You see that? So you see the halacha carves up these different areas into different domains of regulation. Okay, good. There's one other way of understanding this Gemara of somebody who wants to be machzir as pischo. Tzchari tells about it. What's the other way of interpreting it? Not that it's about foot traffic.
That it's about machsanya. If you kind of, that the original mavoi may have a problem if you close one of your doors, because then they'll still get the same quantity of machsanya, but they might have trouble collecting the dues from you later on. And there's a lot. I might have just read the Ramban.
Well, so let's say you have here's Mavoi Aleph and down here is Mavoi Beis, referring to this thing. Okay? And you have a bunch of homes over here. Right? So the guy who owns house E wants to close up his opening here, and he wants to open it this way. What's the nafkamina of doing that, according to the Ramban's second parish?
I think Ramban says that it's a problem of Afsanya dues, or where are you paying them?
Exactly. You could imagine that every Mavoi was taxed equally.
Right? So there's a 100k tax on Mavoi Beis, and there's a 100k tax on Mavoi Aleph.
And the Mavoi then allocates that cost amongst its members.
If member E switches his Pesach from Mavoi A to Mavoi Beis,
that imposes a greater tax burden, collectively, on all the members of Mavoi Aleph. Correct? So, who's able to Ma'akev Alav on this parish in the Ramban?
The original Mavoi Aleph.
Yeah, the members of the original Mavoi could block him because he's causing them a financial loss in how they're going to allocate their Mavoi costs. That's a very striking principle, no? Because we're saying the financial fallout of this person switching his Pesach is a reason why the Mavoy Aleph could restrain him from changing it. Benji?
But when you say that you can prevent someone from just moving out, because that would also impose the same financial problem.
Yeah. There you might say, well, there's such a burden of, like, keeping him where he is, of not letting him move, that maybe his interests override their interests.
And what if you just wanted to move, like, instead of opening, the other side, if he just moves into the D lot?
Yeah. It's an interesting question. How far does this right to restrain go?
Right.
Yeah, I agree. It's not so fleshed out. But what you do get from the Gemara is that, at least in this case of being Machzir HaPesach, the financial burden that it imposed on Mavoye is a reason to restrain this guy. Right? I mean, look, you can think of this in a modern sense, like all sorts of zoning laws, right? Zoning laws exist because if you could do this hideous construction on your house, it's going to bring down the value of properties in the neighborhood. Right? So does the collective entity have the right to regulate people's private aesthetics of their homes? This seems to be a clear example where we say yes. Correct? Guy wants to build a generator on his front lawn. The community says no, like, that's not something you could do because it looks ugly and makes the neighborhood ugly. I think that would be governed by these types of considerations. Like, the B'nai HaMavoy have certain rights that they can enforce against this Yachid. Yeah? Great. Okay, let's look at the next case in the Gemara Yud Aleph Amud Beis. I want to get two more cases in about the Yachid against the interests of the B'nai HaMavoy and the Tzibur. So on page 12 of the source sheet, we have the case of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Volunteer to read this for us. Echem ne mavi shabikish listom kenegat pischo. Kobe.
Echem ne mavi shabikish listom kenegat pischo. There was a block out of his house in the doorway. They were mavi and Abdullah. They can stop him from mavi and they're to increase the amount of distance they have to walk.
Yeah, so let's see the case. Let's take Rashi's interpretation. So just read Rashi for us. Shabigish listam kenegat pischo. So the owner of, or the owner, whatever, of Mavoy, of unit F, wants to build a little machitza. He wants a little more yard. People in Queens, when I lived in Queens, they would do this all the time. There was this alleyway behind the houses, which is like a collective road, and it would break off into individual parking spots. And like the people in the neighborhood would always build illegal porches that extended into the Mavoy, into little fences to yard it off. That's exactly this case, right? You have this collective Mavoy and they want to cordon it off for private use. So are the B'nai HaRabim allowed to... Now, we saw that there is some special protection to the Dalet Amos in front of your home. At least in for a home, right? We saw this for usage, to unload your donkey. Sound familiar? So here you want to cordon it off. So could the B'nai HaRabim be makiv? Kobe?
Yes.
Why? Mar says, Mar Balein is Haderech. So according to Rashi, you're Makif and Mechitzos. How are you Mar Balein is Haderech? Well, it's not a complaint until you're trying to back your car out of the driveway and you need to do a K-turn. And these guys who cordoned off the area just make it much more difficult to turn around, no? When there's snow, it's much harder to get through. When someone's double parked in the... But these things do make a difference, no? You don't drive to the heights here, and like when people are double parked, it's just much more difficult to... Yeah, it's a huge problem. So this burden that it imposes on the other B'nai HaMavoy is a reason why the B'nai HaMavoy can make it. Yes? you could imagine in modern day, somebody has a sidewalk, right? They do something, they want to like block off the sidewalk a little bit.
All these restaurants with COVID, they built.
Exactly. Yes. In Manayunk, which is right near where I live, in the city of Philadelphia. I always bike through Manayunk. And all the restaurants built like onto the street. And now as a biker, it's impossible now to squeeze through when like the buses are coming down the road and like there's no more street left for me. Marba Elena Sadara, right? So here the point is that yes, the foot traffic people have a right, the B'nai HaMavi have a right to be ma'akev. Rafi?
Like, you would think that a mawai would be, like, a sort of public-owned area, and it looks like we're saying we really would let you take control of your private daladamos in your mawai, but, like, foot traffic is going to be more difficult to, like, get around in the mawai. But it doesn't, like, it seems that the mawai itself could be, like, in a perfect world where you didn't need to get through just your individual house. Like,
yeah, I mean, you're making a good point that, you know, in an ideal world, the mavoi is a shutfus of all the yechidim, so the yechidim should be able to exercise their influence over the areas around, right? Like if they have, you need a place to unload your stuff, right? Mashal lema davar doma. Hotels in the city or fancy buildings, they have like an awning, right? And sometimes those like porters will block off a parking spot in front of the hotel, right? You know what I'm talking about? Now, they're not allowed to. Now, they're allowed to use that area for loading and unloading, but on the other hand, it takes away a parking spot from, like, the people who need a spot. So, like, yeah, in a perfect world, like, the shutfuyos of this area would be allowed to actually block off those things and make right in. But there's interest of the tzibor that outweighs it. I think that's exactly what's going on in this case. What?
Metaphorical place to put your donkey.
What do you mean? Correct. Yeah. Correct, but you can't block it off. That's what I'm saying. It's a use right that you have, but you can't build mechitzos around it to physically mark it off because of the burden. Even though, yes, as Roth is saying, in an ideal world, maybe the use right would translate into an ability to actually cordon it off. But not in a way that affects the other users, the user spot, like the foot traffic people. Great. Now, Tosus has a slightly different reading of the case. So, Kobe, what's Tosus' reading of the case that he cites from Rabbeinu Chananel?
You know,
Yeah. So you can imagine, okay, that let's say the mavoi goes like this. Here's the house of Mr. I at the end of the mavoi, correct? What he wants to do is he wants to cordon off this part of the mavoi. He wants to put his sukkah here or something, or he wants to build a porch over there. So he's not affecting anybody else, right? Foot traffic doesn't really extend this far. Everybody else ends over here. Correct? So what burden is he imposing on everybody? So what are we told? Kobe?
It used to be
So here's the main thoroughfare, right? Right? Let's take Amsterdam Avenue, for example. And here's 185. Okay. So when there's like a lot going on here, the Rabin kind of gets shoved into the mud a little bit. Yes? So
what's the problem, Kobe?
They used to be able to go and down to the other side.
You used to be able to fill up this whole mugway. When there's like an overflow of traffic here, people could spill into here and hang out the whole length. By the owner of Unit I closing off this area, he now compresses the traffic, makes more dense the traffic in front of everybody else's opening. So the B'nai HaMavoi could object on the grounds that there's too much traffic this way. Correct? Do you guys hear that? Now notice here, Yechol and Lomar. What do you think that to mean?
They can if they want to, they can protest, but if they want to let the guy...
No, that's not a chiddush. They could always be mocha on their rights. Yechol and Lomar just sounds to me like it's not a claim that has to be empirically true or like a frequent burden. They're basically saying, this is common space. Right, we have rights, the B'nai HaMavoi own this space. As Rafi said earlier, it's not obvious at all that you should be able to extend your private property use into the Mavoi space. And here they're just pointing out that there's some general disadvantage that they would be suffering. It doesn't have to be that this is like a common or frequent problem. That's the point I wanted to make. Okay. Good. I want to spend our last few minutes discussing the Sugya on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where we get a third case of Mavoi discussions. So here it's not a dispute between a member of an individual Mavoi and the Mavoi collectively. What's this case? Ned, why don't you tell us, or different volunteer? Ned, do you want to volunteer to...
So you have this mugway that's open on both ends and...
Scream.
It's mugway open on both ends, and you have the town right next to the mugway, and you have another town that's further away.
Exactly.
The town that's further away...
You have a mugway that connects two towns.
Yeah. The town that's further away, the town is close by, the one that goes off the pathway, but the town that's further away can be not given.
Yeah. So here's the mugway, here's New York, here's New Jersey... Here are all the people who live on the DW. Alright. What?
Yeah.
Now the residents of the GW decide that what do they want to do? Bikshu B'nai HaYir L'Sosman. They're shutting down the Mavoi for traffic. The GW is a bad example because it's just a Rabban, but imagine if it was a private neighborhood. You know, like those, you used to cut through Fort Lee, and there's traffic on Route 4, you know what I'm talking about? So it's like a private neighborhood that was accessed to, which is like a major city.
The name of what you were trying to close to, or the residents of the other city?
I don't think it matters. I mean, the B'nai HaMavoi, who are, I guess, associated with one city. So, like the New York side, let's say, these guys wanted to shut down the Mavoi. Okay? So, what's the point here? The B'nai of New Jersey have the right to be Makiv Aleihem. Right, Ned? On what basis? And by the way, even when there's Darka Achrini, right? Even when there's another way of getting, even when this is not the only path. So, why should the B'nai New Jersey be able to Makiv Aleihem? Oh, we have a principle of Meitzar Sheikh Zikav Rabbi Masur LeKalkalo. What's that principle?
Once the Rabbin have laid claim to a particular path or sort of straight, you can't remove its functionality, destroy it, or
yeah.
Ruin it.
Once the Rabbin have appropriated a path for themselves, you're not allowed to take it away from them. This Gemara comes up in Daf Kuf. And so by that same logic, the B'nai HaMavoi cannot deprive the Rabbim from continuing to use this path from New York to New Jersey or New Jersey to New York. Okay? So the question is, why should the Bnei Rabim have such a strong power? Okay? You could see the Rashbam in the parallel Gemara in Daf Kuf says, right, even if the Rabbim chose this path without the express permission from the owners. Okay? So why should the Rabbim have this power? Why should the Rabbim have this power? So we saw one formulation earlier in the year in the Elias Rabbeinu Yonah. What does he say? Hefker Rabim Hefker. What does that mean?
The Rabim have the power to use the expression. Reallocate property rights.
Yeah, or appropriate, right? There's just some sovereign legal authority that's deemed to reside in the Rabim itself. Right? So just like Hefker Bezdin Hefker, you think that Bezdin is the institution that could assign property rights. So the Tzibor, because we saw in the Rashan B'nai Yerla Siyal Kitasam discussion, the Tzibor itself seems to have that type of power. Like in the Constitution, there's the government has the right to do eminent domain to make a highway. And so Chazal say in a similar sense that the B'nai Rabin have this imminent power to assign property rights. Make sense to you guys? Yeah? So it would almost be it would be redundant to say, oh, Bez Din has to assign it to the Rabbim, because the Rabbim itself has that Koach Bez Din, as we saw in Rosh Hashanah B'nai Yair. Okay? And I think that's what the Gemara is implicitly appealing to in this discussion when it talks about the B'nai HaMavoi not being able to shut down their the easement or the way of access for the B'nai Rabim. Thoughts on that? I just wanted to make one final observation here, and then I'll let you all go. The Divrei Chaim, it's the Sanzerov, in page 16 here, in his Chuvos of Choshen Mishpa Beis Yud Gimel, has, I think, a very insightful comment, a small comment, but an insightful one, about the nature of this right that the Rabbim has when it's a Meitzar Sheikh Zikubo Rabbim. Anybody see this, Divrei Chaim? So he says, Nirali Lomar, the Meitzar Sheikh Zikubo Rabbim, Vasuba Maisa, Hainu Shalo, Lo Shekna'o, Lo Shekna'o La Karka, Rak lehiluch levad, aval guf hakarka lebalal medas. Uchemoshe matinu kineze the kama mekomos b'shchenim. What's he saying?
That there's some sort of something in between, some sort of between the ownership. Where you're granting certain rights, use rights that are not don't really relate to your owning of the area of property.
Exactly. Remember before we were talking about this block stone, like owning the particles, like versus just have like in the Chitfus versus just having certain incident rights.
It's like there are boundaries that
you shall me.
Yeah,
not a kinyan begufa davar, but a right use right. So you see that rearing its head over here. When we talk about a Meitzar Sheikh Zikubo Rabin, it's not shot that the Rabin when by asserting their path through the field, they now acquire this area of the field. Right, they don't own the area, what they say in English, fee simple absolute. Like, they don't have a right to sell it to somebody else, they don't have a right to the profits of it, they don't have a right to destroy it. What right do they have, Matt?
Use.
It's like an easement. Notice that the Rechai even appeals to the example, I think Ned, you pointed this out in Cheskes Tashmishin. Like when we find Kanzel Milvashim, I have a right to use my pipe over your land, something along those lines, right? I have a right to use this area of your land. But it's not bailus in the gufa karka. Just want to emphasize that conceptualization of the type of ownership that it is. The Rimigash on Daf Kuf has an interesting comment. The Gemara in Daf Kuf and Baba Basra, when it talks about this Meitzar Shef, Zibul L'Rabim, there's a bit of debate about how the Rabim is Koneh. Are they Koneh with Hiluch, just by walking, or do they have to do some sort of Tikkun to the area? And Rimigash has a very interesting distinction there, where he says, when you're talking about a narrow path of like an individual easement that like I could gain on my neighbor's field, he says that's just makom hiluch raglav levad. That vigufo eno kanoi, he's not actually acquiring the land itself. Ela mamon bal hakerem hu, the path remains the property of the vineyard owner through which you're getting an easement. Therefore, you're kone behiluch, because you're not actually kone any of the physical thing. Do you see that? Gufo eino kanoilo. Aval derech rachav, kigon derech rabim, v'chayotze behen. But if it's like a wide thoroughfare that the rabim is acquiring, hareze avad mimenu es gufo. There the bala kerem, or the property owner, loses the physical thing. The ein lo bahana, he loses his ability to benefit from that area. Havle kiknias guf karka mamish v'lo machnevei behiluch. There, it's as if the rabim is acquiring the actual physical karka, and therefore they need a kinyan that's more than just hiluch. They have to do some sort of tikkun, you know, pave a road or clear out trees and things like that. So just the fascinating thing here is that I think the Divrei Chaim is more correct to say that when you're talking about a Meitzar Shef Zikah v'Rabim, it's not a kinyan b'guf hadavar b'chlal, it's just a use right. The Rimigash is a little skeptical of that. He's thinking that it makes sense to speak of a use right if all it is like a narrow, almost like a thin line that doesn't affect the owner's interest in it. But if the Rabim has like started using a very wide swath of land, then for all intents and purposes, they've deprived the owner of his ownership, and it's like a transfer of the Gufa Karka. You guys see that? So it's just something to think about, how tenable the distinction is between saying the owner owns the Gufa Karka, even though the Rabim have destroyed his ability to use, benefit, transfer, etc. That's what the Divrei Chaim wants to say. The Rimigash thinks, like, no, at a certain point, if the Rabim has deprived the owner of his basic use, blah, 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 then the owner no longer owns it. So there is this interesting question about property rights, how malleable you think they are. At a certain point, do you want to say the Rabim now owns it, the Guf HaDavar and the Cheftza, as the Rimigash wants to say, or do you want to say the Divrei Chaim and say, well, you know, the owner can't do anything with it, but he still is the owner. And the Rabim just have this use right that blocks or infringes upon his ability to exercise ownership. Okay, let's stop here. That brings us up to Kofin al Midas Stom. So we'll start next week. Is next week our last week? We have two weeks, right? So, well,
Tuesday.
Oh, we're Sunday today?
Yeah.
Right, so we have Tuesday, Thursday, and then another week. Right, so let's do Kofin al Midas Stom on Tuesday, Thursday. And then good following week. Okay, great. Shkoyach, guys. Remember to finish up until Yud Zion in the... Yeah, great. Shkoyach, guys.